Blog Talk Radio.
Show coming up.
Never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three pieces and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. Commercial for a pop a pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother? Yeah, fire. Never come with a warning, a revolution. Everyone addicted to the same nicotine. Everyone addicted to the same gasoline. Everyone addicted to a technicolor screen. Everybody trying to get their hands on the same green. From the banks of the river to the banks of the greedy. All of the riches taken back by the needy. We come from the country and we come from the city. Play us on a record, you can play us on a CD. All the shit you've given us is fertilizer. The seeds that you planted, you can never brutalize. Now the corporation, you can never globalize it. Like Peter Tosh said, legalize it. Girls and boys hear the bass and the treble. Rumbling the speakers in and make you want to rebel. Throw your hands off, take it to another level. And you never, ever, ever make a deal with the devil. Yeah, fire.
Probably, I don't know, maybe 3 years now, Yell Fire, Michael Fronte, and Spearhead. It is the Pinko the Bear Show. You are up late with me, Pinko the Bear, and I'm glad to have you here. This program is brought to you from a far lefty leftist perspective, otherwise known as the truth. Well, as far as I can tell. And I'm pretty sure about it because I'm in some pretty good company. I wasn't around the last couple of weeks. Actually, I was here last week ready to do the show, only to find out there was a scheduling mishap, human error. So I didn't have a show last week, and I think the week before I was either very sick or, I don't know, maybe I had a side gig, something else, and I couldn't be here. So it's been a couple of weeks, and of course the information just keeps pouring into my brain, and I like to take that information and figure out what it all means and try to pour it into your brains, into your ear holes on the interwebs here. Here at Here Be Monsters Radio, Gwen Berry is of Here Be Monsters has several shows during the week, and she is always, she's so gracious, and she gives me 2 hours a night to rant, ramble, and roll on about things that that I think are important to share. And so that's what I do 2 hours a night, just once a week now. Used to be five nights a week, but once a week. Because I got stuff to do, man. I got Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective. We put out a zine and about the evils of capitalism and the wonders of socialism and anarchism and communism. And we're not all on the same page, but at least we're reading from the same book over there. I love those guys and gals. I'm just busy. We got the IWW going on here. I had a meeting tonight. Got plans, got things going on. Went to an immigration rally today, immigration reform rally, man. Hey, listen, no person is illegal, okay? No borders, no masters. That's what I'm saying. It's all bullshit. And there's an immigration reform bill being discussed, came out of the Senate. And anyway, there was a rally here in town. I live in Reno, Nevada. It is west of Los Angeles. It is north of San Francisco. Hard to believe. You think of, out west, Reno. Well, it's not California. But yes, we're west of L.A. It's strange. But just look on a map. Just Google it. Google it, for God's sakes. Anyway, I've got a bunch of stuff. I've got a clip from Lee Camp, though. It's not the newest one. His newest one is fantastic. I'll have to play it next week. I've got one from last week. I've got a new little clip from Mark Fiore, a very talented and witty artist. You can find Mark Fiore, F-I-O-R-E. Just Google him, Mark with a K. A little clip from a Charlie Chaplin movie from 1957. Oh, my friends, my local friends in the band Merkin. They've got a new release. It's not quite released, but I have it. And it's called Snow Day. And it's a commentary on the disconnect people have when there's tragedies and horrors and school shootings and towers falling down and cats and dogs living together. And when bad shit happens and, did you hear about the slaughter? There's no school today. No school today. We get the day off. I'll try not to sing too much more. But anyway, it's a great song. We shot the video Monday. And it won't be together for maybe about a month, and then there'll be an official release. But I want to play that song for you. It's really creepy, and it's really good. And so the boys in Merkin, the power rock trio from here in Reno. Let's see, what else? Oh, I got some words of wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for letting me speak in tongues. Words of wisdom from Jeff Mincy, my friend Mimi, whose name I cannot pronounce. Howard Zinn on the 4th of July and patriotism. We got good news, workers winning some battles here and there. Got a couple of stories about that. Words of wisdom from other Facebook clanmates, Will Rivers and Lee Burkett. And if any of you are listening, I just want you to know how much I appreciate your posts. I love to reshare the truly great ones, and I love to share the truly great ones on my show. It makes my job easier. I don't have to write anything. All I'm doing is aggregating other people's stuff here, okay? That's all I do. I don't have any original thought here. It's Noam Chomsky's already said it all. And he says it way better than I do. Anyway, I do want, before I get into the first piece from Howard, I do want to mention a little something that's going on with some of my cyber friends, my Facebook clanmates. What did they do? I lost my audio? Check, check. Whoa, whoa. Check, check, check. Okay. What's going on here? All right, I don't know what's going on. It sounds like I lost my microphone. I can't be really sure. This is not good. Maybe, there, now it's back. Maybe I have a short in the mic. I don't know. We'll find out on the playback, and you just found out just now. But at any rate, before I get into Howard's thing, I wanted to say something. This is what I wanted to say. If you're looking for content, you're looking for folks who see through the left-right fake paradigm, through the all-star wrestling, the Hulk Hogan versus Hollywood Hogan, Democrats versus liberals. If you're looking for something actual, you know, lefty leftist, some friends of mine have put together, and myself have put together a website, and it's called thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. I like the name. And what we're doing there is we are providing space, a platform for all things lefty, whether it's bloggers or radio shows. And we've got about 7 shows now, maybe 8. I don't know. I think we added Bob Carson, Carson's Corner. We've got Authority Smashing Hour with Zenu and Paul, I believe it is. We've got Gwen's show, of course, Here Be Monsters, Pinko the Bear Show. We've got AWOP Radio with Kim G, publisher. And we've got Worldwide Hippies with Joe McAvoy. And anyway, so it's an aggregator of lefty-leftist kind of shows. Good information. Not all of us are, you know, 100% in lockstep. But we're reading from the same book, if not on almost the same page. And, of course, we think that we've got a good perspective and a good lock on what's really going on in the world, and we're trying to get the message out. And we would like you to visit that website, thecommonsprojectnetwork.com, TCPN, all right? Do it. Just do it. Don't do it right now. You're listening to the show. So anyway, I want to start with, Fourth of July weekend just happened, right? And we had the 4 days and all the barbecue and the hot dogs and the red, white, and blue, waving the flags and fireworks and getting drunk and fighting with relatives and whatever you did on Fourth of July. You know, a lot of people, get all excited about it and stuff, and that's great. And I was working. I was driving. I was working that night. And I watched, I went by the park here in Reno, and I saw, they had the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. They had the band, right, the big swing, big band thing going on. And it was a night of patriotic music, and all these lovely bourgeois people were there to enjoy the music and to salute their troops and talk about how, you know, talk to the people next to them and about how their son is a Marine. And, my son is a an airborne ranger. No, my son plays video games and kills small children in Afghanistan with his joystick. No, they probably didn't exactly say that. But I just saw all these people, and it really kind of made me sad. Now, the music was bitching, some of it, because it was secular. It wasn't really military and patriotic. They had some great big band arrangements. But, man, then they'd go into the patriotic music and they stand and put their hand on their heart, and oh my God, and it really left me very cold, because I'm just not a big fan of empire, American exceptionalism. I'm not a big fan of bullies, whether it's a person that's bullying someone else or it's a country say, like the United States, that bullies the rest of the world. You know, like downing presidential planes from Bolivia. I don't even know if I want to talk about that tonight. But anyway, I'm just not a big fan, but, you know, people are having a good time. And it reminded me, a couple of years ago, I saw something written by Howard Zinn. Now, Howard passed maybe 2, maybe 3 years ago. But great historian and humanitarian and intellectual and writer, author, teacher, professor, super smart, wonderfully perfect, well, not perfect, but wonderful human being. But he wrote something a few years back when Bush was still in office. And it was reprinted over at commondreams.org. And I really like commondreams.org if you haven't visited that site. Lots of good stuff over there, commondreams.org. But anyway, it was republished. And it's called Put Away the Flags. Put Away the Flags. Remembering Howard Zinn on 4th of July. This is actually by Howard Zinn. But just to remember him, they reprinted this 2 years ago. And Howard says, on this 4th of July, we would do well to renounce nationalism and all its symbols, its flags, its pledges of allegiance, its anthems, its insistence in song that God must single out America to be blessed. Is not nationalism that devotion to a flag, an anthem, a boundary so fierce that it engenders mass murder, one of the greatest evils of our time, along with racism, along with religious hatred? These ways of thinking, cultivated, nurtured, indoctrinated from childhood on, have been useful to those in power and deadly for those out of power. National spirit can be benign in a country that's small and lacking both in military and a hunger for expansion. Think about Switzerland, Norway, Costa Rica, and many more. But in a nation like ours, huge, possessing thousands of weapons of mass destruction, what might have been harmless pride becomes an arrogant nationalism, dangerous to others and to ourselves. Our citizenry has been brought up to see our nation as different from others. American exceptionalism. An exception in the world, uniquely moral. Expanding into other lands in order to bring civilization, to bring liberty and democracy. And that self-deception started very early, my friends. When the first English settlers moved into Indian land in Massachusetts Bay and were resisted, the violence escalated into war with the Pequot Indians. The killing of Indians was seen as approved by God. The taking of land as commanded in the Bible, or by the Bible, I should say. The Puritans, they cited one of the Psalms, which says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. When the English set fire to a Pequot village, and they massacred men, women, and children. The Puritan theologian, right? Yeah, I can speak. The Puritan theologian, Cotton Mather, said this. He said, it was supposed that no less than 600 Pequot souls were brought down to hell that day. On the eve of the Mexican War, an American journalist declared it our manifest destiny to overspread the continent allotted by Providence. After the invasion of Mexico began, the New York Herald announced, We believe it is part of our destiny to civilize that beautiful country.
At the end of the gun.
It was always supposedly for benign purposes that our country went to war. When we invaded Cuba in 1898 to liberate the Cubans, and went to war in the Philippines shortly after, as President McKinley put it, to civilize and Christianize the Filipino people. Now, I don't know if you know much about that war. Not good for the Filipinos. As our armies were committing massacres in the Philippines, at least 600,000 Filipinos died in just a few years of conflict. 600,000. The Secretary of War, now they call him the Secretary of Defense, right? But the Secretary of War was saying, and I quote, "The American soldier is different from all other soldiers of all other countries since the war began. He is the advanced guard of liberty and justice, of law and order, and of peace and happiness." Tell that to the 600,000 dead Filipinos, Mr. Root, Secretary of War. But you know what? We see that in Iraq, our soldiers are not really any different. They have, maybe perhaps against their better nature, killed hundreds of thousands of Iraqis or tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians. And some soldiers have shown themselves capable of brutality and torture. And yet they are victims, too, of our government's lies. How many times have we heard President Bush tell the troops that if they die, if they return without any arms or legs or blinded, it is for liberty, for democracy, huh? See, one of the effects of nationalist thinking is a loss of a sense of proportion. Just think about this. The killing of 2,300 people at Pearl Harbor becomes the justification for killing 240,000 in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And the killing of 3,000 people on September 11th becomes the justification for killing tens of thousands and eventually hundreds of thousands of people in Afghanistan and Iraq. And nationalism, folks, nationalism is given a special virulence when it is said to be blessed by providence. When Howard wrote this, he said, today we have a president, he's talking about President Bush, today we have a President Bush invading two countries in 4 years, who announced on the campaign trail in 2004 that God, providence, God speaks through him. And of course now we've got Obama, he's in six countries or more. Hard to tell these days. Are you keeping score? But I digress. Howard says, we need to refute the idea that our nation is different from, morally superior to, the other imperial powers of the of world history. We need to assert our allegiance to the human race and not to any one nation. And Howard, my friend, Howard, you are exactly right. And when I was at the immigration rally today, and there was about 100, maybe 90, maybe 110, maybe 87. I didn't count them, but, you know, it was a pretty decent turnout. It was at a Catholic church here in town at a fairly busy intersection. There were speakers and we were a sign holding, immigration reform now, you know, all that stuff. People aren't illegal. Borders are bullshit. Nationalism is bullshit. Buying into the idea that you are patriotic, you wave a flag and send your son off to kill somebody in a foreign land. Bullshit. They have a saying, Eugene Debs and the IWW have a saying, the man on each end of the bayonet is still a working man. Just thought I'd point that out. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I don't know what we're going to talk about. But, you know, I think I was going to save this for later, but I want to do it right now, just in case I lose some of you before the 2 hours is up. Dane DeLucchi, lead vocals, wrote the song. Alon Burton, lead guitar, killer. And Jeremy Morrow, killer on the drums, tasty drums. This song, I don't know, man. This comes out of a 23-year-old. 23-year-old kid that I met at Occupy. He was like 19 or 20 at the time. Yeah, maybe 21 at the time. Seems like so long ago, but this comes out of his mind, and this is it's a commentary on the disconnect that people have. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Ooh, that was terrible. Hey, we get the day off of school. Hey, we get the day off of work. Or maybe they just want to gossip about it. Oh, that's horrible. And anyway, I like this song a lot. It's called Snow Day, and it's by Merkin out of Reno, where I'm living.
About the slaughter.
like it. I like it a lot. added production from Extevion from the Schizopolitans, a local artist here that also hangs out at Strega Bar, where I DJ a couple of nights when I'm not driving the toaster. The toaster being the square-looking taxi cab. Do that four nights a week, DJ a couple nights a week, and then come and talk to you on Tuesdays, my night off. Because, this is what I'd rather do than anything else. Anyway, you can check out more about Merkin. They obviously have a Facebook page, Merkin, M-E-R-K-I-N. They also have a spot over at reverbnation.com/Merkin Band. And their homepage, their website, where the latest four songs are up, including the one that I just played for you there, merkinband.com. So, yeah, I know it's not totally political, but it does speak to the disconnect and the, the way, I don't know, the apathy, some of the crap that's going on in the world, and particularly maybe in America right now. Though today I saw a lack of apathy. I saw enthusiasm at the immigration reform rally. And yes, basically they're Democrats, liberals. They kind of single issue folks who think that, hey, write your congressman and he'll listen to you and do what you want him to do because that's the will of the people. I think they're sadly mistaken, and maybe they'll come around, but some of us in the IWW decided it would be a good idea if we came out and supported them because they are our allies. The rest of the re-education can come later. Anyway, so what else is happening tonight? Oh, I wanted to share this. This is I've been sharing a lot of Jeff Mincy lately. I just really enjoy his posts. He's thoughtful. He doesn't use Facebook to post what he had for dinner or, oh, look at this cute kitten or, this grumpy cat. He doesn't do that, even though I like me some grumpy cat. No, Kirk, I love me some grumpy cat. Always very good discussions. And I like this. And I posted this the other night. Maybe you read it if you're already a Facebook friend or clanmate. He says, propose your vision for a new egalitarian society, and you're sure to be met with the human nature counter-argument, right? We've all heard that a million times. It's human nature. You can't do anything about it. So out of the woodwork will come naysayers to enlighten you that humanity's fear, greed, envy, and aggression makes your vision unrealistic. Oh, it's pie in the sky. It's utopian. What's wrong with that? How about we build a better world? And not a word will you hear. You will not hear a word about human love, generosity, empathy, and compassion. Nope, not from those folks. Not a word about human adaptability, about the capacity for learning and the hunger for knowledge. No, instead the naysayers are just going to protest that humans will always be imperfect and fall short of the ideal. Well, you know what? Revolutionaries don't work to achieve ideal humans. Let me say that again. The revolutionary does not work to achieve ideal humans, but rather to achieve an ideal society. And any step in that direction is a good step. Step on up. Consider, for instance, that even as bigotry still lives in the human heart, an ever-increasing number of societies prohibit unjust discrimination. Likewise, even as assault, rape, and homicide, they've not been eradicated, but societies impose sanctions on those acts nevertheless. Any presumptions of human nature notwithstanding, in an increasing number of societies, folks, violence is not tolerated. baby steps. And any school teacher knows that children rise to the high expectations that are made of them. We don't have to capitulate to the worst examples of our species, the psychopaths, the banksters, gangsters, and generals. No, we don't have to capitulate to the worst examples of our species. We can build a society which expects the best of humanity. A society based on the values of justice, equality, and liberty. Even as we understand that at times we will fall short. So take heart. Stand fast to the utopian vision and press on. Make the world a better place. That's all I'm saying. All right. I know I played this last week, but God, I just like it. I like it a lot, and I hope you do too. Why am I a socialist or a communist? Kind of interchangeable if you are a non-atheist. Well, about the little things, the details, the enemies, capital.
Why am I an anarchist? Because old age pensioners eat dog food. Because single moms on welfare cry. Because politicians steal our future. Walk the streets safely, because I want to breathe fresh, clean air, because hope, freedom, and dignity are never on special at Walmart, because capitalism is a scam. Because TV and newspapers lie. Because
like the way that song ends. Yeah, that's the ABCs of anarchism, or anarchy.
I like it. Anyway,
so I was thinking about this today, and I was kind of like scrolling through the Facebook posts. And if you're not my friend, hit me up.
My name
on Facebook. Well, go to the Pinko the Bear Show. The Pinko the Bear Show. That's my page. I don't use that page as much as I use my personal page with my real name, Brad. Now, there's a secret. H-O-L-H-U-T, Brad Whole Hunt. You can hit me up on Facebook and say hi and be my friend. But I post a lot on my personal page. It's easier, though I started the show page as well. But at any rate, I was looking through some of the posts that I made and the discussions that were going on, and I came across this, and I wanted to share it tonight. And this is from Mimi the socialist from Socialist Party USA in Hawaii. What's up, Mimi, if you're listening? I don't know how to say your last name, and I'm not even going to try. I lied. I'm going to try. Soltsisik. I can't. No, I can't. Anyway, Mimi said, the folks who continue, and you hear this all the time, but the folks who continually point to Obama as the source of the problems here in the United States are really starting to look like zealots who are incapable of any sort of reason or critical analysis. I concur. I've been talking about this for a long time. Some of the posts and arguments make me wonder if these people have the sort of animosity towards the library. Read, mother... he's remarkably predictable, Obama is. I mean... And just slight degrees different from any president of the United States before him. He's not unusual and new. Neither was Bush or Reagan or any of them, or Roosevelt, Teddy. Okay, maybe Theodore was a little unusual, but we won't get into that right now. These problems aren't the result of one man's actions, folks. They are clearly systemic problems. And they aren't shrouded in conspiracy. I did a whole show, like, I don't know, 2 months ago about conspiracy theorists and theories and how screwed up it is and why we shouldn't pay any attention to that when it's all out in the open. He says, they are expressed on record, folks. They aren't shrouded in a conspiracy. They are expressed on record. And if anyone cares to pinpoint the origin of a particular problem, the origin can be found. And yes, he's tragic. Obama's tragic. He's a tragic, disappointing war criminal. But we don't need to keep screaming about that, because look, any president of the United States who steps into office is going to fit that same description. So if you have a concern about the problem, how about you focus on the problem? And the problem isn't the POTUS. Isn't the president of the United States. And so by continually focusing on one person, you remove yourself from participation in any sort of future solution. So why don't you do this? Why don't you join the existing communities that are focused on solutions, huh? Why don't you join an anti-capitalist collective? Why don't you join the one big union, the IWW, why don't you join a socialist group, a communist group, an anarchist group? Why don't you find those folks in your own community, reach out to them, check them out, join them, and get active organizing and get out in the streets? So today we didn't exactly get in the streets because we were with a bunch of single issue liberals about immigration reform, but we're reaching out to them, and maybe who knows, maybe next May Day they'll come and march in the streets with us like some of them did this past May Day. But most of them stayed on the sidewalk and yelled at us for being in the streets because, well, you know, we're breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law. But when the law is unjust, fuck the law, okay? There I said it. As Howard said, you know, hey, we don't have a problem with obedience or disobedience. Obedience isn't our problem. I lost my microphone again. What the hell? Check, check, check. This is not good. Hang on a second. All right, let's check, 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 check. Unbelievable. Lost my microphone. It's possible you can hear me. I don't know. But I can't hear myself, which is not a good thing. Because if I can't hear me, then I don't know if you hear me. All right, so this is kind of screwed up. It's do-it-yourself radio. Never actually had this problem before. I may have a bad connection. Hardware connection. It's like it's loose or something. But anyway, I don't even know where I was going with that. I'm not sure where I was or where I was going. So what I'm going to do, I think, is I'm going to play you a clip. I'm going to go over to the trusty board here and find myself a clip to play for you guys, and I'll be right back. And how about a little Mark Fiore, man? Little NSA kind of thing. You might enjoy this one.
It's not about Edward Snowden. It's about using the very NSA programs he decries to protect this nation. It's about gathering everyone's data to help target a suspect who has regularly communicated with a mysterious figure abroad, has been associated with foreign criminals and other bad actors, has traveled extensively in the Middle East, has used social networks to send messages to Iran, Iraq, and Syria, and whose location data indicates he has been in contact with religious zealots in the outskirts of Damascus. We're not listening to the content of everyone's conversation. We're simply using metadata to build a profile of a suspect who would attack our entire banking system, using shadowy technology to further his aims along the Golan Heights border with Israel, has continued to associate with those who show no respect for the law, and whose calling patterns and geolocation indicate a would-be martyr. That's why we must wiretap Jesus. It's time to save the homeland.
Yeah, wiretap Jesus, man. Talking to all those Middle Easterners, got a radical message. He's in the temple screwing with the money changers. Don't screw with the money changers. They will put you up on a piece of wood and stretch you out and you will die. Now, I think we ought to screw with the money changers. Personally, I think we ought to, we ought to prosecute all the bankers. I would say hang the bankers, but that's just a little bit, I don't want anybody to take that literally. So, yeah, how about we just prosecute some bankers, huh? How about we put an end to that cartel? Wiretap Jesus, such a radical, socialist, communist, lefty, anarchist kind of guy, man. Bad guy, that Jesus guy. We have to wiretap him. All right, I've I've lost my mind, but that happens sometimes. So, hey, I got this for you. I like this a lot. This is Lee Camp, man, and we're going to talk a little bit about NSA spying. LeeCamp.net.
Got no plans, no plans at all. Evil man's always transcending. Follow like sheep, swallow everything. Always simpletons or pretending.
It's your moment of clarity from LeeCamp.net. Barack Obama is the best president we've ever had. John Boehner, Eric Cantor, and Mitch McConnell are the best congressmen we've ever seen. The whole government is fucking perfect. They only care about the people of America, and they would give up all power, money, and name recognition just to keep the United States healthy, wealthy, and wise. They fart rainbows, and they piss silly string. Let's pretend just for a second that that's true. Every word of it. I know it takes some serious imagination. It takes more mental gymnastics than Donald Trump does each morning to convince himself he's a babe magnet with a full head of hair. But let's pretend it's true. Let's say it's true just for a second. And that is the reason you are fine with the massive NSA spying program that's been put in place by President Obama and President Bush and leaked by Edward Snowden. Let's say you're fine with all the spying because just like the mainstream media and so many political leaders on the right and left, you believe they have our best interests at heart. Then let me ask you this. What happens with this massive surveillance infrastructure when a dictator does get into the Oval Office in the future, when a tyrant who doesn't fart rainbows works his way to the top of our political system? He, or she, I don't want to be sexist here, would have a full surveillance state at their fingertips. Every tool a dictator could ever want, like a kid in a candy store, like Toronto Mayor Rob Ford in a crack den. Do I want to play with the spying on every phone call toy, or maybe the looking at every email trinket, or oh wait, there's indefinite detention of American citizens without a trial or charges. That looks like so much fun. Oh, so wait, but I can't forget extraordinary rendition and torture. It's so tough to decide. I don't know. But why bother with that when I could just have a brand new kill list that includes American citizens? Are you seeing this? This is amazing. I can't. It's so tough to decide. I can't believe the American people gave me all these toys and they crucified the guy that told them about them. they literally put the messenger in prison. They imprisoned the messenger. I can't breathe. I think it would look a lot like that.
I do too.
You know, our Constitution has separation of powers and a Bill of Rights for a reason. And how long can people wipe their asses with it before it's no longer a usable document? The top-ranking Republican on the Homeland Security Committee said she had never heard of the NSA program. That's not separation of powers. That's defecation of powers. In the U.S. right now, there are 66,000 structurally deficit bridges in desperate need of repair before someone dies. Our roads are crumbling, and our newest train tracks were built by slaves when slavery was still legal. So we don't have the time or money for that kind of infrastructure, but we have more than enough time, money, and will to put in place a full frontal, all-powerful surveillance state on our own people, a dictator's toolkit waiting to be used. By the way, a quick note on Edward Snowden. Let's say you hate him. Let's say he's the worst human being you've ever heard of. He makes Charles Manson look like Tom Hanks. He sneezes without covering his mouth. He eats people's french fries when they go to the bathroom. He flicks babies' ears. And they found his girlfriend's head in a ditch. Let's say all of that were true. It would have nothing to do with the NSA spying program. It's like someone telling you your house is burning down, and you then see it burning and go, like I'm going to listen to a high school dropout. Not this time, buddy. The sad thing is, most of you watching this video right now already agree with me. But a lot of people don't. Forward this video to them, and then ask them to argue with you after they've watched it. That's been your Moment of Clarity from LeeCamp.net. The basic idea of this Moment of Clarity came from an article in The Atlantic by Connor Friedersdorf. The link is in the description. I have an amazing song here at the end. You're going to love it. It has nothing to do with spying. It's called The Armpit Song by Shu-Ann Clark. And you just got to trust me. Listen to it. The link's also in the description. Lastly, there are two ways to help Moment of Clarity continue and to grow. Become a member at LeeCamp.net. Also, you can spend 30 seconds going to donateyouraccount.com/LeeCamp. You'll never have to think about it again, and you'll be helping MOC on a daily basis. Thanks. Keep fighting. My legs need shaving, and my pores need cleansing. My skin needs toning, and my boobs need padding, and my hair needs combing. And oh my God, I know a girl who shaves her arms. She's got arms stubble.
Oh, we're really in trouble. She's got arms stubble. I love me some Lee Camp. I've been playing Lee Camp's Moments of Clarity on my show for, I don't know, probably at least 2 years. introduced him to a bunch of folks at Occupy when that broke out, and everybody loves him. If you don't know him, get over there at leecamp.net. In fact, the Commons Project Network, the lefty leftist hub for radio shows and YouTube videos and content and blogs and stuff, we are going to extend, if we haven't done so already, extend an invitation to Lee to post his stuff up there. Also, Dennis Traynor Jr. is another one. If you don't know him, you should be following him. I don't do the Twitter, so you can follow him on Twitter, Dennis Traynor Jr. or Lee Camp. Or you can find Dennis on YouTube. His show is called Acronym, because you stand for something. And Lee and Dennis have become friends over the Occupy, and Dennis did a documentary on Occupy. But you can find that online as well. At any rate, as I was saying, I was before my mic went out, and I don't know what happened. I really don't. It's twice now. But I was sharing Mimi's thoughts about, you know, really how people love to focus on the president. And yeah, he's got just a shit ton of power, mostly the power to hurt people. But it's not the person in the office. It is the office, because it is the system. And when I say system, I spell it with a C, like assist. Assist. So it's not the person. And I know I've got some, you know, kind of left-wing tip Democrat friends, Democratic friends, I should say. And some of them are saying, well, you know what, I've got right-wing friends too, and they're all saying the same thing, but maybe in little different ways. And wow, what if we got together and formed a coalition? What if we did that? And I don't know, man. I hear that people say, well, you know, the right libertarians and the left libertarians, they're not that far apart because they're all libertarians. And no, the right libertarians are still pro-capitalists. Pro-capitalism. They're all for, you know, the private ownership of the means of production. So no, they're not going to be our allies. I just don't see it. I don't see the far left and the far right getting together anytime soon. See, and the propaganda in this country, and probably in other countries too, but the propaganda has been so thick and so pervasive, and so there are just so many people that have a complete misunderstanding of what is really happening and why it's happening, that it's damn near impossible to bridge that gap. But I mean, I guess that's why we organize and agitate, and we put out our message and get our message straight, so when they start really looking for answers, we can have those discussions with them, and hopefully they'll see the light. But that's not anytime soon. We're better off, I think, focusing our attention on the allies of the what passes for liberal these days, or Democrats these days, and get them to come further into the light over here on the far left. Because look, when the shit hits the fan, and people are angry and hurting, they're going to need answers, and so we need to have a good understanding of the evils of the system, the evils of capitalism, the greatest system since feudalism, but we can do better and point them out. It's up to us that have the correct answers to be there and to be ready to provide them. Or what will they do? They'll just accept the wrong answers from some wrongheaded fucktard. And, you know, things will go decidedly worse. I mean, just think of the end of the Weimar Republic and the rise of Hitler. He had answers. It was, well, the problem was the terrorists from Poland. The problem was the Jews. The problem was the socialists, the unionists, trade unionists. No, he had answers. People ate it up. And look what happened. So anyway, we do what we can when we can. You know, we do what we can with what we've got when we can. I just wanted to share this too. I was talking about Howard Zinn earlier, and I probably should have mentioned this then when I was reading his "Put Away the Flags" piece that was reposted at commondreams.org. But so on 4th of July, I put this American flag, big picture, you know, American flag, and then there's a poster, a banner hanging over the flag, and it says, and this is a quote from Howard Zinn, and this is just one of the many reasons I like this man. "No flag is large enough to cover the shame of killing innocent people." And so on 4th of July, I wasn't all that thrilled when I saw all the American flags and the waving and the, all the patriotic bullshit and the pledges of allegiance and the hands on their, you know, over their hearts. And we're number one. And yeah, we're number one in we're the number one purveyor of violence on the planet. And it's been that way for a long time. Thank you, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., for that quote, or it was more of a paraphrase. Yeah, anyway, why do people hate us? Why do they hate us? Why do they hate Americans? Americans! I mean, all we really want to do is, I don't know, invade your country. Drone strike the shit out of your women and children. Steal your natural resources. Install a vassal king who will be useful to our imperial ambitions, and then turn around and call you a terrorist if you resist. And by the way, NSA, if you are listening, I hope some of this makes sense to you. I hope you're not so far gone. I hope you get it. You know, I hope you understand that I'm not being un-American for criticizing capitalism. There's nothing in the fucking Constitution that says anything about capitalism or the Bible. So fuck your Christianity and fuck your capitalism. Just saying. Read your Constitution. I know the Constitution doesn't matter. I'm getting agitated, aren't I? I should take some phone calls or something. I don't know. I don't even know who's listening. I don't even know. I just did this for fun. Area code 13816. If you care to call and talk about any of this stuff. Agree, disagree, ask questions, make a point, do whatever, whatever. I'm open for that. It's a 2-hour show. We got an hour left. So, what else do I want to get into tonight? Let me switch my board here and look. Yeah, I got some other stuff I want to get into. Oh, good news of the day. You know, when I get irritated, when I get upset about, you know, the way things are and the way things are going and the way things have been going, when I get upset, I always like to find some good news, and there is good news. So the good news segment might only last 5 minutes, but, you know, it's all I got. So over at inthesetimes.com, with liberty and justice for all, there's a story about McDonald's. Now, I don't eat McDonald's. I think it's just horrible and makes me feel bad and makes me fat and clogs my arteries and all that good stuff. There's no such thing as a happy meal at McDonald's. But one of the things about you know, huge corporations is they just want more profits, lower wages, more profits, more marketing. Get those kids, get them young. Ronald McDonald, the Hamburglar, right? Get them young. Make them lifelong consumers, useless feeders or eaters. And one of the ways that McDonald's decided that they wanted to make more is, payroll checks. You know, you got to process the payroll checks. You got to mail the payroll checks. You got to print the payroll checks and pay for that. And they came up with this really brainiac idea that, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we give them a debit card? And so if you make $7.25 an hour and you work at McDonald's and you work 40 hours a week, somebody do the math, it's under $400, I'm sure. But whatever, you get your payroll, you get your salary, your hourly wage, your slave wage, you get it on a debit card. No need for a bank account, no need to go to the bank and cash it, direct deposit, none of all, no fuss, no muss, on a debit card. Saves McDonald's money and makes it convenient for you, doesn't it? I mean, on the surface, it sounds great. Oh, well, other than the part that you can't get cash without using a bank that charges a fee. Other than the fact that if you actually read the whole agreement, you know, those the thing where, you know, here, click here, I agree to the terms, and nobody ever reads it because it's 27 pages of legalese. But we all say, yeah, I read it, I agree. And when you look in there, what you find out is there's all sorts of hidden charges. So now these people are paying $7.25 an hour. They're making minimum wage, and they're paid in a debit card, and then they get hit with charges, $2 here, $3 there, 75 cents here. Guess what? Now they're making less than minimum wage. Some people would call that illegal. In fact, some people knew it was illegal, and they got lawyers. And the lawyers took McDonald's to court, and they're suing McDonald's, saying, look, mother, you can't do this. You're already screwing them with $7.25 an hour, but now you're going to hit them with all these charges, so your buddies in the big bank where you funnel all your profits, they make money on top of this, on top of the workers' back. So the good news of the day is McDonald's franchise drops the compulsory payroll debit cards. They have backed down and said, oh, my bad. We weren't trying to hurt anybody. We were trying to make it more convenient. So it was compulsory if you were working at certain McDonald's. I believe this was in the New York area. I'm not sure. I could pull up the the article. I'm sure it's over at Pinko the Bear Show Facebook page. But yeah, the outrage was building, you know, for a while. Get these prepaid bank cards, and their businesses are trying to pay their workers with them. And no, some workers that actually knew their rights or had a hunch that it was wrong and followed through. They followed through and brought the lawsuit. And it was just reported in these times, in thesetimes.com, that McDonald's has backed off. Now, you can still opt in because, I mean, maybe you want a debit card and you don't mind the fees. Maybe. And some people, maybe, I don't know, maybe they work at McDonald's for fun and they don't really need the extra money. They just like French fries and serving people food that'll kill them. I mean, that's possible, right? But so anyway, there is an opt-in program, which, you know, I'm fine with that. If you want to opt in, but you got to know about the fees and you have to know, you know, what the deal is. So in the lawsuit, it alleges that the cards violate, oh, it's Pennsylvania, excuse me, not New York, violate the Pennsylvania Wage Payment and Collection Act, which provides that, quote, wages shall be paid in lawful money of the United States or check. Nothing about debit cards. So obviously that's a no-brainer. And, of course, the suit further alleged that the fees reduce the actual wages the workers receive, in some cases bringing them below minimum wage, which in Pennsylvania is the same as the federal minimum wage, which is $7.25. It was picked up in the New York Times, and it kind of went viral, and now McDonald's is backing off. So I thought that was, you know, pretty good news. You know, we want to bring you good news. Now, better news would be all fast food workers join one big union, the IWW, and then strike and say, sorry, dude, we want a living wage. We want $15 an hour. And if you got to charge a little more for French fries and you got to charge a little more for, you know, coffee, fine. Because we got to eat. We got to pay rent. We got to live. We have to have some entertainment. We're living on this planet as free people, but we are existing as slaves for slave wages at your stupid judgment. Judgment. Everywhere I have judgment. At your stupid little restaurant that serves food that kills people and makes them obese. But it's cheap. Not everybody has a Costco card. Not everybody can go to the regular grocery store. So I get it. I get it. All right. So I got a couple more things, but I really want to play more. I want to play more clips. I'm in the mood for more clips. I'm not even sure what I've got for you. Well, all right, how about a non-political clip, just for fun, baby, just for fun. One of my favorite songs, probably a song that is going to go down, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, you're going to still hear Daft Punk, Get Lucky, at weddings and oldies bars. And 50 years from now or 40 years from now, you're going to be going through the grocery store, the Super Costco Market from Hell, and you're going to hear like a Muzak version of Get Lucky. But this Brainiac, I don't know, this French guy, you know, I played this 2 weeks ago, but I just want to play it again. This guy, it's Get Lucky Through the Decades. What would it have sounded like in 1900? What would it have sounded like in the roaring 20s, in the 50s, in the 60s, all drugged out, in the 70s disco era? I love it. It's the evolution of decades. An homage to Daft Punk's super, super, super wonderful killer song, Get Lucky. It's a big affair, Joe. The evolution of Daft Punk's Get Lucky. I tell you what. Yeah, nobody's getting lucky tonight if you're listening to the Pink of the Bear show. Nobody wants to hear that while you're doing the thing. But, you know, it's good for cruising Facebook or going to the gym. You can hear all past episodes of Pink of the Bear show At least in this last carnation, the once a week carnation, you can hear them all at thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. And a lot of other great shows over there if you're just joining us. I know I mentioned it earlier, but I wanted to do it again. Also, if you'd like to hear older shows, when I was doing it 5 nights a week, 2 hours a night, just go to iTunes and look for Pinko the Bear. I don't know, I got like 300-400 shows over there. But at any rate, it's do-it-yourself radio from a lefty leftist perspective, ear candy for the choir. If you want to call in, 213-816-0357 is the number to call. We've got about 45 minutes, so I'd be glad to take a call. The chat room is open, though there's only one or two people in the chat. Neither one of them seem to have a nickname or an account, so therefore they can't use chat. If you come to the chat room, just follow the directions, man. If you want to use the chat and type and talk, just give them an email that works, create a password, and create a screen name. It's really that easy. Pinko the Bear is taken, okay? Just to let you know. All right, I wanted to talk about this a little bit. I posted this over at the Pinko the Bear Show page on Facebook because I get this a lot, this kind of conversation with people. Well, what do you mean you're anti-capitalist? What do you mean you don't like capitalism? You use an iPhone. You use the internet. You know, all this stuff comes from capitalism. And, of course, it's bullshit, but you can't just say that to somebody. Oh, it's bullshit. You kind of have to lay it out, right? And one of my friends was commenting the other day, I think it was a status or something, but it was a really long conversation, but just a little bit of it. He says, capitalism... This is what the typical person who hasn't thought it through says. Not my friend, but somebody who hasn't thought it through. Well, capitalism is responsible for the largest increase of income by people, and especially poor people, in the last 500 years. Capitalism really, you know, it helps poor people. Capitalism has lengthened our lifespans. It's made all the conveniences we use, like the internet, and has increased the amount of calories that are available worldwide. And this is... Well, it's bullshit, but this is a view that a lot of people have. And I think we ought to, you know, take it apart just a little bit. I mean, one could easily, like, point to the ocean and say, oh, the ocean is responsible for boats. You get that? I do. I mean, it's not cause and effect here. The stuff that's happening, the stuff that we get, the stuff that we like. I've got my Apple. I've got my iPhone. I've got this great microphone from whoever made it. I don't know. But it wasn't because of capitalism. It was because of labor. It was because of workers. And it was because, you know, people are inventive. Some people are very inventive by nature, and they want to invent shit. I don't know. Einstein, was he a capitalist? No. He was a worker. He worked with his mind and his hands, but still, he was a worker. He was labor. Capitalists do nothing. They sit around the pool and collect their checks and take money away from working people. So to say capitalism brought you all that stuff is just crap. Hey, look at the ocean. The ocean created the boats. No, workers created the boats. Capitalism has been the medium in which mankind has endeavored for the past, only couple of centuries? So what, are we going to go back and look at and point to the pharaohs of Egypt and claim that they're responsible for agriculture? I mean, it's not a valid argument to point to one economic system, the only one that we have. You can't point to the system, the only system we have, and try to make a valid argument and suggest that it's the system that is responsible for all the good things we have. No. But you know what? You can point to the system with a capital C, system, as in cyst. You can point to the capitalist system and say that the capitalist system is responsible for poisoning the environment. You can point to capitalism and say that system is responsible for the creation of poverty. You can point to that system and say that system is responsible for starvation. That system is responsible for war. But you can't point to it and say it's responsible for the gadgets and the good stuff. That's just people working. Just people working. So the guy that posted that, this crap about how capitalism brought us all that stuff, is he doesn't have a clue. Working men, working women, working children make things. Not capitalists and not capitalism. Any item, folks, any item of value that is made, was made, or will be made, can be made under a different system. Can be made without the stupid capitalist system. People create. People work. The fanboys and the sycophants of the system are totally full of shit when they claim capitalism as the catalyst for things. I mean, just, you got to think it. You got to think about it. Just think about all the great innovations that have come out of the public sector. You know, public money, socialism, well, sort of, state socialism. But think about all the things that have come out of the public sector. Public money, public funds given to the university research labs, research departments, university departments, and they create all the good shit. That's where all the good R&D comes from. And then when it's developed to a certain point, it's sold. Well, first it's given to the military. And then after a few years later, it's sold, handed, or passed off to the private sector. And then the private sector turns around and claims that they did all the heavy lifting. I mean, I could go on, and I probably will. I could go on, but I won't. You get the point. But I think it's a point that you really need to internalize, because when you have that conversation with somebody, you need to be able to talk and say it and make it clear so they can get it, or at least you can like get them to start thinking. I mean, the claim that capitalism lifts people from poverty, dude, it's a very, very dangerous lie. Private ownership of the means of production. Private ownership of the means of production, it's a requisite of capitalism, directly causes poverty. My friend Nate, hey Nate, if you're listening, was talking about this. He says more than a billion people are malnourished worldwide. If capitalism is so fucking great, why do we have a billion people malnourished worldwide? Why do we have children with no access to clean water? Why do we have, hey, 55 million Americans with no access to health care? People starving to death, famines. If capitalism is so freaking great, just go into Oakland or go into Detroit. Go into Cleveland and the inner cities. Really? How's that capitalism working for people? It's not. It's working for a small amount of people, a small percentage of the people, the billionaires and the killionaires of this world. And so it's not like a billion people in this world are going hungry because they're too lazy, too stupid, or otherwise physically incapable of producing things for themselves and their families. No, that's not why. A billion people are going hungry because all the arable land is privately owned, and not by them, of course. And if they were going to try to farm for themselves, well, they'd just be jailed. Men with guns and badges would put them in cages. Because some asshole, some rich billionaire killionaire, simply is trying to protect his illegitimate notion of private property rights. And children starve to death every single day because of this lie. Now I'm getting upset again. That's what I do. I don't know. I get upset. I rant. I talk. I do the thing, right? That's what I do. You know what I need? I need the sound of my people. Would you like to hear the sound of my people? I'm going to share the sound of my people. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good sound. Yeah, baby. All right. So what else do I want to do? I could play another clip, but no, I want to do this. I want to Lee, man, Lee Burkett, if you're listening. Nice to have you. I really enjoy his rants. And lately he's been doing this thing called Here's the Thing. Everything starts with Here's the Thing. And it's, you know, 200-300-word rant on a particular topic. And it saves me from writing up a rant on my own. I mean, I write, but I'm writing other stuff, not rants on politics. Because I got really, well, I got better people. I can choose from Zinn and Greenwald and Chomsky and Hedges and then my Facebook friends that are wise, too. But here's the thing from Lee. Most dumbfounding of all, it's becoming common to charge for goods or services not used. One example, you got a credit card. It's really just a pre-approved loan. That's all it is. All it ever will be, an invitation to borrow money. Now, if you don't use that credit card, you will find you are charged a fee for non-use. So, you're being charged a fee for not accepting the offer of a loan. See, the owners have figured out a way to charge us for what we're not using. And here's the thing. We're all working for the company store. Have you heard that song? I lose 16 tons. What do I get? Another day older and deeper in debt. Right? I owe my soul to the company store. I'm going to sing that at karaoke sometime. But yeah, we're all working for the company store. Now, if you're not familiar with the term, as far as I know, it comes from the coal fields of Pennsylvania. Matron. The owners of the coal mines, they would literally, folks, literally build a town to house all the workers. And at the heart of the town was the company store. And it worked like this. So when you get hired, the company provided a house for you and your family. The company provided tools. Everything else you might need was available at the company store. You got flour, canned goods, vinegar, tobacco, booze. Got to have some booze. Clothes, soap, shoes, all right there in the company store in the heart of the company town. You got what you needed and it was marked down on a list. Now, at the end of the week, when you got your pay, deductions were made. First, you got the rent for your house, that's deducted. Then there was a deduction for the tools you used to go to work for them because you were renting the tools from the owner. And if you break a tool, well, you're charged for that. And of course, everything that you purchased at the company store was also deducted. This is the way it ran. And so it's not really uncommon for a miner to put in more than like 70 hours of really back-breaking hard labor, only to find at the end of the week that they owed the owner of the mine. They work, hurt, tough it out. At the end of the week, oh, they're in the hole to the company store. See, their income didn't quite cover what they had rented or purchased that week. And honey, this ain't no Nordstrom's. This ain't no, not that kind of fancy store, Neiman Marcus, needless markup or whatever. No. This was like, oh, you need to eat? Here's some flour. This was particularly the case for those who had a couple of kids, many of whom, of course, the kids worked in the coal mine and, of course, at pennies a day. And were also charged for tools they needed to do their job. And if you're lucky, your earnings would, you know, be enough to cover the basic necessities. You could get up and go do it all again the next day, the next week. And the system was used elsewhere throughout history. Now, one example is in the South. Immediately after the Civil War, the freed slaves, they found themselves being charged for the use of the slave cabin and the hand tools and the horse and the wagons that they had been using and the food and the clothes that had been provided by the plantation owner. So a month after they're liberated, they found themselves in debt to the owner. And the only way to get out of debt was to continue working, doing what they had been doing before they were liberated. How'd that work out? Work for the owner in exchange for the basic necessities in life. And by law, if they left, if they just quit, right? If they did, I ain't doing this no more. Ain't nobody got time for this. If they left, then they're guilty of stealing. And really, for a lot of them, it was years and years and years before they bought themselves out of debt. So now let's fast forward to the enlightened world of the 21st century, shall we? So according to Forbes magazine, Forbes magazine, basically the equivalent of Teen Beat for millionaire wannabes, well, millionaires and wannabe millionaires, all debt, all finance, all trade, and all resource control can be traced, folks, to 147 multinational corporations. Are you following me on this? According to Forbes, all debt, all finance, all trade, all resource control can be traced to 147 multinational corporations. All the money in the world eventually makes its way into this handful of corporations. 7 billion plus humans on the fucking planet. 7 billion plus humans. And all the businesses on Earth and all the governments on Earth are in debt to the owners of these corporations, 147 of them. The owners pretty much own everything. And then they rent it or they sell it to us. So here we are in the 21st century, wherever you are, if you're listening to this, here we are, there you are. We're working for the owners. They own the businesses we work for. They own the house we rent or we buy. They own the food. They own the water. And they own pretty much everything we need, and they own the stores we buy from. It's the company store writ large. Things haven't changed that much. We call this freedom. We defend the right of a handful of sociopaths to own and control all the resources and governments because this is the American way. We're free. We're free. Say it with me. I'm free. I'm free to spend a lifetime toiling to buy our way to freedom. And that's the thing. I do enjoy me some Lieberkett very much. It's the Pink of the Bear Show. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Crack a bear, smoke 'em if you got 'em. Sing the song if you know the words. Don't worry about being on key. Sing out loud, sing out proud.
Through the best of times, through the worst of times.
Building while you stay on a shot inside of them.
like it. Maybe I'm an anarchist. Against me. It's the Pink of the Bear show. Hey, how about an 11-year-old boy explains why...
Here, Your Majesty, we have an infant phenomenon. A remarkable child of 10. He's quite a historian. Editor of our school magazine.
At 10 years old.
Very interesting.
This, Your Majesty, is Rupert, our young editor.
How do you do, Rupert?
How do you do?
Sit down. And what's that you're reading?
Karl Marx.
Surely you're not a communist.
Do I have to be a communist to read Karl Marx?
Rupert.
That's a valid answer. Well, if you're not a communist, what are you?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I dislike all forms of government.
But somebody must rule.
And I don't like the word rule.
Me neither.
Well, if we don't like the word rule, let's call it leadership.
Leadership in government is political power, and political power is an official form of antagonizing the people.
What magazine did you say he edits?
A commentary on current events.
Pardon me. But, my dear young man, politics are
necessary.
Politics are rules imposed upon the people.
In this country, rules are not imposed. They are the wish of all free citizens.
Travel around a bit, then you'll see how free they are.
Oh, but you didn't let me finish.
They have every man in a straitjacket. And without a passport, he can't move a toe.
But if you'll allow me to...
In a free world, they violate the natural rights of every citizen.
But you don't let me...
They have become the weapons of political despots.
Yes, ma'am, may
I? And if you don't think as they think, you're deprived of your passport.
Will you allow me to...
To leave a country is like breaking out of jail.
Yes,
and
but...
to enter a country is like going through the eye of a needle.
But
am I free to travel?
Of course you're free to travel.
Only with a passport.
Will you allow me to say
something? Only with a passport. Do animals need passports?
Have you finished?
It's in Congress that in this atomic age of speed, we are shut in and shut out by passports.
If you'll shut up and let somebody else talk...
And free speech, does that exist?
No, you've got it all.
And free enterprise.
We were talking of passports.
Today, it's all monopoly.
All right. Now, will you...
Can I go into the automobile business and compete with the auto trust?
If I can get in a word...
Not a chance. Can I go into the grocery business and compete with the chain store?
Will you shut up?
Not a chance. Monopoly is the menace of free enterprise. As I look back 60 years ago...
Where were you 60 years ago?
He was a glint in his great-grandfather's eye.
Very well now. Have you finished? Now let me say something.
No.
Let me tell you how wrong you are.
Sit
in
on
the first
pie. Sit on the... Oh, he sat on the pie.
In the first place... Now I've forgotten what I wanted to say.
And the atomic bomb.
Ah.
It's a crime that when the world cries for atomic energy...
Bravo.
You want to make atomic bombs.
Me? I'm against atomic bombs.
You want to wipe out civilization. Destroy all life on this planet.
You don't think you're living in the
90s. I lost my throne because I didn't want atomic bombs.
You and your kind think that atomic bombs can solve your problems.
Listen, you little rat.
Today, man has too much power. The Roman Empire collapsed with the assassination of Caesar. And why?
If you...
Because of too much power.
Feudalism
blew up with the French Revolution. And why?
Right.
Because of too much power.
Too much power.
And today the whole world will blow up. And why?
Because of too much power.
The monopoly of power is a menace to freedom. It degrades and victimizes every individual.
And where is the individual?
I don't know.
Lost in terror because he's made to hate instead of love. If civilization is to survive, we must combat power until the dignity and peace of man are restored.
What is the meaning of this?
Throw the bombs out. Fuck your borders. Fuck your masters. Just saying. No borders, no masters. I'm just saying. All right, it is the Pink of the Bear show. We're getting in the last 15, 20 minutes. I don't know. I've been talking a lot tonight. Maybe I'm just feeling a little clip happy and kind of getting back to that whole Snowden NSA thing. Oh, by the way, there was a big hoax going around that he had landed in Ecuador, that he had flown to Cuba and Cuba got him to Ecuador. And I looked at that. I was like, really? And I'm looking at all my different my news feed at the Facebook on Facebook, full of good old lefties and smart people, and I've cultivated over the last four years, and only a couple people were posting it, and I noticed the people were posting it were not always, they were the less reliable. So I didn't post it because I thought, I'm not sure. And as it turns out, it was a hoax. It was a hoax. I don't know where it originated. But no, Castro didn't make a speech about how he helped Snowden get into Ecuador. Anyway, so it was a hoax. So anyway, but speaking of NSA and all of that, man. Oh, by the way, and that clip, that last clip was from a movie from 1957. That was Charlie Chaplin as the as Your Majesty, and his son playing the schoolboy who gave Your Majesty the riot, read him the riot act. I love that. I've been playing the Great Dictator speech, different versions of it, and mashups and such. But I thought I'd go with that tonight. At any rate, I like this one too. This was Matt Damon from, what the hell was the movie? Good Will Hunting, 15, 17 years ago. I know I played it a couple of weeks ago, but damn it, I want to play it again because I think it's just very, very relevant. And why I should work for the NSA or why I shouldn't work for the NSA from Good Will Hunting. I like it a lot.
So why do you think I should work for the National Security Agency?
Well, you'd be working on the cutting edge. You'd be exposed to the kind of technology that you wouldn't see anywhere else because we've classified it. Super string theory, chaos math, advanced algorithms.
Code breaking.
Well, that's one aspect of what we do.
Oh, come on. I mean, that is what you do. You guys handle 80% of the intelligence workload. You're 7 times the size of the CIA.
We don't like to brag about that, Will. But you're exactly right. So the way I see it, the question isn't, why should you work for the NSA? The question is, why shouldn't you?
Why shouldn't I work for the NSA? That's a tough one. But I'll take a shot. Say I'm working at the NSA and somebody puts a code on my desk, something no one else can break. Maybe I take a shot at it, maybe I break it, and I'm real happy with myself because I did my job well. But maybe that code was the location of some rebel army in North Africa or the Middle East, and once they have that location, they bomb the village where the rebels are hiding. 1,500 people that I never met, never had no problem with, get killed. Now the politicians are saying, oh, send in the Marines to secure the area because they don't give a shit. It won't be their kid over there getting shot, just like it wasn't them when their number got called because they were all pulling a tour in the National Guard. It'll be some kid from Southie over there taking shrapnel in the ass. He comes back to find that the plant he used to work at got exported to the country he just got back from, and the guy who put the shrapnel in his ass got his old job because he'll work for 15 cents a day and no bathroom breaks. Meanwhile, he realizes the only reason he was over there in the first place was so that we could install a government that would sell us oil at a good price. And, of course, the oil companies use a little skirmish over there to scare up domestic oil prices. A cute little ancillary benefit for them, but it ain't helping my buddy at $2.50 a gallon. They're taking their sweet time bringing the oil back, of course. Maybe they even took the liberty of hiring an alcoholic skipper who likes to drink martinis and fucking play slalom with the icebergs. It ain't too long till he hits one, spills the oil, and kills all the sea life in the North Atlantic. So now my buddy's out of work, he can't afford to drive, so he's walking to the fucking job interviews, which sucks because the shrapnel in his ass is giving him chronic hemorrhoids, and meanwhile he's starving because every time he tries to get a bite to eat, the only blue plate special they're serving is North Atlantic scrod with Quaker State. So what did I think? I'm holding out for something better. I figure, fuck it, while I'm at it, why not just shoot my buddy? Take his job, give it to his sworn enemy, hike up gas prices, bomb a village, club a baby seal, hit the hash pipe, and join the National Guard. I could be elected president.
Damn. Yeah, I don't get tired of hearing that, and I hope you don't either. All right, I was going to take phone calls, but nobody wanted to call in. We got a couple minutes, 213-816-0357. I understand that most people listen to the show in the podcast form, you know, a little time delay thing, because I'm up late, man. That's what I do. My regular schedule has me going, getting off work at 6 a.m. Then, of course, you got to have a little happy hour, a couple of PBRs and a smoke, and, you know, listen to some music and relax. And next thing you know, I'm going to bed at 9 and waking up at, you know, 3, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, going to work again at 6, 12 hours. 12 hours, man, driving the toaster. And I want to throw this out there, too, since we're at the end of the show, and I just a little housekeeping here. So There's a website called roundtree7.com. Seven is the actual number seven. You don't spell it. Roundtree7.com. Over the years, I've made some really good friends on the net, all political stuff, lefty-leftist stuff. And some of these folks are writers, bloggers. They've got a lot of things to say. It's over at Roundtree 7, it's generally not political. Or if it is, it's not in your-face kind of way. These are really great human stories. I don't know. Just I just would recommend it. So Roundtree7.com. And over there, I've started a series. They just gave me the passcode and the secret handshake. I didn't get to reach around, though. But they gave me the passcode and the secret handshake, and now I'm a writer over at Roundtree 7. I've got this series called Scenes from the Toaster, and the toaster is a Scion, you know, those little square cars. And here in Reno, the major cab company has tons of these little toasters. I call them that. I don't know if anybody else does. And what I'm writing about what happens in the cab. This is not taxi cab confessions. This is not, oh, this is the most outrageous story and you're going to like freak out because, you know, no, that's been done and I'm not really interested in that. But I am meeting people from all walks of life, all different types of people. And it's amazing in 5 to 8 to 12 minutes in the cab what you can glean from them. You know, they don't have filters because you're just the cab driver, right? You know, you're the, I guess it would be like, I don't know, being a servant at a white glove, you know, dinner party at a private country club. You would hear all sorts of stuff because people don't filter. And so anyway, it's called Scenes from the Toaster. I think I've put up 3. I've got about 8 or 10 written. I've got about 20 more good stories, but I just haven't written them yet. But roundtree7.com, Scenes from the Toaster. I think my given name is there, Brad Holhut, it might say Pinko the Bear, or it might say A Bear. I've just got lots of names. So yeah, check that out. Also, the Commons Project Network, thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. It's some of my folks from Roundtree 7 and myself said, wouldn't it be great if we had an aggregation site, a place where anybody with a voice, anybody who wanted to be heard, had something to say about politics, power, relationships, you know, anything lefty-leftist, you know, pinko, commie, anarchist, syndicalist, whatever, anything but teabaggers, conservatives, and I think maybe we have one straight liberal-type reformist. But thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. There's several different shows to choose from. Gwen Berry has a show called Here Be Monsters. She has several shows a week. I'm using her platform at BTR. She gives me one night a week, Tuesday night, which is my off night, because I have a second job DJing in a club that I do on Mondays and Wednesdays. So anyway. So her show's there. Kim G Publisher, AWOP Radio, Joe McAvoy and the crew over at Worldwide Hippies. I mean, how can you not love that? Worldwide Hippies, really? But everybody's got their own style. Everybody's got their own style. Everybody's got their, you know, how they're doing it. Authority Smashing Hour, Derek Johnson, Zenu, and Paul. Love that show. What else do we have? And they're on Blog Talk Radio as well. But over at the Commons, we added Bob Carson, Carson's Corner. We're hoping to get Dennis Traynor Jr. Dennis Traynor Jr., maybe Kevin Z, Margaret Flowers, you know, anybody, Cindy Sheehan, anybody who's got a show from the truth side of things, from the far left, the libertarian left, I would call it. But thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. All right, I'm getting tired of talking. I got 10 minutes left, and I think I'll just close out the show a little bit early tonight. Hit me up on Facebook. Come to the Pinko the Bear Show page, the Pinko the Bear Show page on Facebook. And then from there, if you want to, you can add me as a personal friend on my regular personal page. And the show is every Tuesday, midnight to 2 a.m. Calls, clips, and commentaries, though, you know, late night, I don't get a lot of calls, but I do welcome them. So, you know, feel free to hit me up there. And, all right, I love you. I love you all. And, but I got to go. How about a little Tony Babino? Tony Babino doing La Internacional to take us out in a lounge kind of way. Love you. Be peace. Where's that song? Here it comes.
Arise, ye workers from your slumber. Arise, ye prisoners of want. That's right. For reason in revolt now thunder. Chains of hatred, greed, and fear. Ha ha! Away with all your superstitions. Serve our masses. Arise, arise. We'll change henceforth the old tradition and spurn the just to win the prize.
Oh, yeah.
So, comrades, come on and rally. Then the last fight, let us face the international. Unite the whole darn human race. So, comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face the international. Unite the whole darn human race. No more deluded by reaction. On tyrants only will make war. The soldiers too will take strife action. They'll break ranks and fight no more. And if those cannibals keep trying to sacrifice us to their pride, each at the forge must do their duty, and we'll strike while the iron is hot. So, comrades, come on, let's go rally, and the last fight, let us face the international. Unite the whole beautiful human race. So, comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face the international. Unite the whole darn human race.
Here all week. Please try the veal. Good night.